copy of God's Word, the Bible, is offered to you this afternoon, free of charge and without any cost or any obligation to you. It is an extract from the Bible entitled Mark's Gospel, yours to take and do with as you will, or if you would like a copy of the whole Bible, gladly place one into your hands. We're evangelical Christians, we're not Jehovah's Witnesses, we're not Mormons, we're simple Bible-believing Christians who follow the Lord Jesus Christ, the only Savior, God manifest in the flesh, God's Son who came into the world to live and love and die, rise again from the dead, that sinners like you and I might be reconciled to God. And here and here alone in God's Word is the testimony of God. God's testimony with regards to His own Son, Jesus Christ, the only Savior of sinners. So if you would like to have a copy of God's Word, then do please feel free to come and ask for one. Like to bring one or two verses of the Bible that I think are very applicable maybe for you today. Who can say, I have made my heart pure? Proverbs chapter 20, verse 9. And of course, the logical answer to that question is nobody. I mean, what does one do in order to make their hearts pure? You know, to get rid of, you know, the hatred maybe, the malice that's there, the unforgiveness, bitterness, you know. I mean, where does a body go in order to have their hearts made clean? You go, my friends over here, the Watchtower Society, that won't do it. That doesn't change a body's heart. You can go to a church, a bona fide church, and of course, well, that in itself won't do it either. And you can go to any store you like in the entirety of the potteries and ask them for something. Tell them, look, I want to make my heart pure. Can you give me something that will clean my heart? And of course, they'll laugh you out of the place. They'll tell you, get out of here. You know, there's no such a thing. You know? Of course, they're wrong because there is such a thing. And it's the blood of God's Son, Jesus Christ, applied by the power of God's Holy Spirit, the third person of the blessed Holy Trinity, alone that can make a man or woman's heart pure. So, in answer to the question from the Bible, who can say I have made my heart pure? The answer is no one. But friends, with God, nothing shall be impossible. With God, this is a possibility. He can make your heart pure. And that, friends, is the very basis. That's the very design of my gospel that I bring to you this afternoon. To make a body's heart pure. By faith, you see. By faith in the Son of God, in Jesus Christ, the second person of the Holy Trinity. By Him, friends, His death, His resurrection, your heart can be made pure this afternoon. And then the Bible goes on again. The Lord looks down from heaven on the children of man to see if there are any who understand, who seek after God. And the answer to that question, that's Psalm 14 verses 2 and 3, the answer to that is, they have all turned aside, together they have become corrupt. There is none who does good, not even one. That's God's word, friends. And that's God's word to you, especially you who would claim to be, who would say, well, I'm a good person. Well, you see, if you take your good personhood, and you lay it alongside what God says or God requires in His Word, the Bible, believe me, your goodness is shot through, shot to pieces. Because there's none good, not even one, says God. All corrupt. You know that saying, the fool says in his heart that there is no God. That comes from the Bible too, Psalm 14. And you know why men and women say that? The Bible goes on in the very next verse to tell us why men and women say that, why they embrace such an idea, such a philosophy. It says, because they are corrupt. That's why men say that. That's why you embrace it. Because you've got a corrupt heart, diseased heart, a heart that's deceitful, says God, above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? You can't even know the depths of the sin of your own heart, the deceitfulness of it. But then God reveals it to you. You see, friends, it's a state. That's why you need my gospel. That's why you need Jesus. That's why you need his death and resurrection. Because only he can save you from that state of corruption. It's the state in which you're born. It's the state in which you come into this world. God's indictment of every single one of us is that we are born in sin. We're conceived in sin. You come from your mother's womb in a state of rebellion against God. Even before you speak your first word, your heart, your very nature, your nature must be changed. And this is my argument, you see, against the religion. You know, you can be very, very sincere about your religion and you can work very, very hard at it, but your religion will not change your heart. It's only the gospel that will do that, friends. It's only the shed blood of Jesus Christ and his mighty, powerful resurrection that can do that. Only the Son of God can purify a man's heart and change their nature. That's why Jesus says, you must be born again. Because unless a man is born again, he cannot even see, perceive, that is, understand the kingdom of God. Never mind enter into it. Because we, all of us, every single one of us, there's none of us good, friends. Not from God's perspective. There may be some goodness, you know, human goodness about you. You help your neighbor. You help old ladies across the street. And that's good and that's a kind thing to do. But from God's perspective, utter holiness. The Bible describes God as the thrice holy God. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty who is, who was and is and is to come. And friends, a holy God and corrupt sinners just do not mix. They are like oil and water. And so there has to be a change. In order for you to be accepted, reconciled to God, there has to be a change. And believe me, it's not on God's part. Because he is the Lord who changes not. He is the same yesterday and today and forever. The change has to be on your part, on my part. But how is that change affected? You cannot do it yourself. You cannot purify your own heart. You cannot rid yourself of your own corrupt nature, your own deceitful heart, your own diseased state and condition. Again, that's why Jesus says you must be born again. It takes a miracle, it takes a supernatural act of God to circumcise the heart, take the heart of stone out of you, and give you a heart of flesh. And I tell you, friends, as one gospel minister once said, the day will come if you've not been born again, the day will come when you will wish you had never been born at all. And again, you see, here's my argument, your religion does not put the life of God into your soul, the love of God into your heart. It's only the gospel that does that. Only the Son of God, only Jesus Christ can accomplish that. Changing your heart, you see, and giving you a desire for God that you never had before. Because here's the thing, friends, no one ever desired God. No one ever desired holiness. No one ever desired to be changed. No one ever desired, no one ever hated sin until they were born again, until God changed their natures, their hearts, made them new people, new creatures, all together in Jesus Christ, his Son. But this is the gospel. This is the gospel. gospel that's so seldomly heard, even in your churches today throughout the potteries. That Christ died for the ungodly, that Christ died for sinners. That you all be sinners, every single one of you, for all have sinned. When God gives this description of corruption of nature, He's not just talking about one or two. He's not talking about, you know, the variety, the species of you, you know, who don't happen to be religious, have a religious bent. He's talking about every man, woman, and child born into this world. All of us, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. None righteous, not even one, says God. So your perceived goodness, believe me, that will not get you into heaven. That will not get you past the day of judgment. Take, if you will, a wander through God's Ten Commandments. Peruse them, if you will, just briefly, that's all. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make any idols, images of God, or bow down before them. You shall not steal, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not covet, and so on. And come back and tell me you've kept every single one of those commandments from your heart perfectly and purely all the days of your existence. Friends, there's not a man born of a woman who has ever done that except the Son of God, the Son of Man, Jesus Christ. We're all lawbreakers, covenant breakers. We're all separated from God as a result of our iniquities, natural born. You must be born again. The nature must be changed in order for you to be right with God. In order for you to be fit for God, fit for life, fit for purpose, fit for heaven, fit for anything. Not even one. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You see, friends, in your natural state, that's the flesh, you know? You never get past the point of thinking, what will I wear today? What will I eat today? You know, that's all that you ever think about, you know? You wouldn't even be thinking about God if I weren't here talking about Him. No thought of God in your mind. No regard for God, you know, just the flesh, you know, just like a brute beast, you know. What will I eat? What will I wear today? Where will I get some money today? The flesh profits nothing. Friends, it's the Spirit who gives life. Again, that's the very meaning. That's the very point of the words of Jesus talking to a religious man when He says you must be born again. A man who was a teacher of religion in Israel. And he's scratching his head and he's saying, what do you mean? How can a man return to his mother's womb and be born again? That's impossible. Of course it is. It's not what he meant. He says you must be born from above. You must be born of the Spirit of God. He came to His own, but His own received Him not. But to as many as did receive Him, who believed in His name, He gave the power to become children of God, who were born, not of man, not of the will of the flesh, but born of God. You must be born again, friends, in order to enter the kingdom of God, in order to be right with God, reconciled to God. Those who are in the flesh, natural born men and women, cannot please God. It's an impossibility without faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It is impossible to please God. The flesh profits nothing. Anything that you or I do, what can we offer to God? What can we do that's pleasing to God? When all we are is just a lump of walking, breathing, talking sin. That's all that you are. So anything that you bring to God, whether it be of a religious variety or not a charitable variety, you think pleasing to God? No, says God, not. Not. Because He says the flesh, those who are in the flesh, in their natural state and condition, cannot please God. End of story. You must be born again. The nature must be changed. Then the practice changes. It's only, friends, when you're born from above of the Spirit of God will you then be pleasing to God, a work of God, you see? For I have the desire, says one of the authors in the Bible, for I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing. You ever ask yourself that question? Maybe in a quieter moment. You know, you sit there on the side of your bed, and you're scratching your head, you're saying, why do I keep doing this? I know it's wrong. Why do I keep saying these things? I know they're wrong. I keep doing what I ought not to do, but so help me, I can't help myself. Because you haven't got the ability, that's why. Without me, says Jesus, you can do nothing. You see, friends, the ability is not with you. The power is not with you to do the good that even sometimes you might want to do. It's the flesh, you see. It's the flesh, it's those sinful natures in which we're born. And they have to be changed. They have to be transformed. They have to be miraculously, supernaturally. They have to be changed by the power of the Spirit of God through Jesus Christ, through my gospel. But the possibility is there, you see, because we have the gospel. Because the gospel, you see, is still the power of God for salvation. You know, in spite of all your modern technology, all the advances in science and medicine and knowledge and all the rest of it, modern man, he thinks he's so clever, he can do it his way, he can do it himself, he doesn't need God, he doesn't need a Savior, he doesn't need a Bible, he doesn't need Jesus Christ. Friends, in spite of all your modernity, in spite of all your advances, and all your cleverness, you still cannot live with one another. You go about the world slaughtering and killing one another. You still can't live with yourselves, your own consciences. You still need my gospel. And it alone is the power of God for salvation. It alone can save you from your corrupt, impure, sinful state and condition. Only the gospel, the good news concerning God's Son, Jesus Christ, can do that. But friends, that's the good news. It can. Because it is power. It is. It's God's dynamite to blow you out of your sinful nature and into a new nature, into a new state, into a state that's pleasing to God. The power of God, friends, for salvation, to save you, not to make you religious. Christ Jesus came into the world, the Bible says, to save sinners, not to make men religious. But men take the Bible, the message of the Bible, they twist it, they distort it, and they build their own petty religions that are just of the flesh, just of the natural mind, you know? They cannot change a man. They cannot cause a man to be born again. They cannot change a man's nature. They cannot make him good. They cannot make him acceptable to God. Only the gospel, only God's way. And Jesus says, I am that way. And he says, no man, no one comes to the Father only through me. That is, no one gets right with God but by me, says Jesus. Through his death and through his resurrection. We have all become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like a polluted garment. That's your righteous deeds, that's your best deeds. That's your acts of loving kindness that you do for your neighbor, your friends, or whoever. You feed the poor, you know. You help the blind, you help the sick. Good things to do, but friends, it doesn't get you any brownie points with God, because your righteous deeds, never mind your bad ones, your righteous deeds are like a polluted garment that God will not even touch. We all says God. Not just you guys. Huh? Not just you guys. Not just some. You know, not just the down and out, not just the beggar in the street, not just the druggie, not just the pedophile, not just the murderer, not just the rapist. We all, says God, all of us, we have all become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like a polluted garment. We all fade like a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, take us away. Friends, here's the thing. Here's where it gets more serious. Because your iniquities, your rebellion against God, your sinful state and condition is one day going to take you away, and it's going to take you away to where you don't want to go, believe me. Your sin will take you away out of this world, and it will take you into the damnation of hell if it is not treated. Your sin must needs be treated. The tree lies where it falls, says the Bible. You fall out of this world in your sinful state, in your corrupt nature. And friends, that's how you remain for all eternity, unless that nature of yours is changed, unless you are born again. Your sin will take you away. You see, friends, people don't just die. People just don't die. People don't just happen to die. People are taken away by their sin, you see, because the wages of sin is still death. And I tell you this, friends, for all the advances in modern medical science, death will never, never be overcome by man himself. Because death is God's punishment, God's retribution upon humanity's sin. It's sin's wages. It's the wages that you're earning day by day, week by week, year in and year out, treasuring up for yourself wrath for the day of God's wrath. And I tell you, your sin will take you away one day. And maybe when you're not ready. Maybe when you don't want to go, I'm not ready to die, please give me another year, give me another month, give me another week. But no, when your time comes, you go, friends. And your sin will take you away, and it will take you to the place, believe me, you do not want to go. I hear young people, they say to me, foolishly and blasphemously, they say to me, oh, that's good, I'm going to go to hell, I'll be with all my buddies, and we'll party, and we'll fornicate, and we'll do all the things that we like to do. No, friends, not like that at all. You'll be lonelier than you ever thought possible in all your existence. You will be tormented night and day for all eternity. You will be more miserable than you ever dreamed it was possible to be. No, your sin will take you away, and it will take you away to a place you do not want to go. You must be born again. Your nature must be changed. You must seek God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. You must cry out to Him. You must implore Him to have mercy upon you, to save you from such an end, to deliver you from the wrath to come. But the Scripture imprisoned everything under sin, so that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. You see, friends, everything, the entirety of God's creation is under sin, the curse on the entirety of God's creation because of man's sin. But here's the escape, here's the release, you see. The promise is given to faith, you see. Faith, friends, faith, believing. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. Promise of God is to faith, not to religion, not to good works. The promise of God is to faith in the Son of God, Jesus Christ. Without faith, it is impossible for you to please God. In Christ, God was reconciling the world to Himself, not counting their trespasses against them. You see, it's when a person believes in Jesus, it's when a person lays hold upon, embraces Jesus Christ by faith, God takes their trespasses, He takes their transgressions, iniquities, He takes their sins, and He doesn't count them against them any longer. He takes them away. He nails them to the cross of His Son, and He washes them away in the blood of His Son, Jesus Christ. This is the power of the gospel, friends, and only the gospel can do this for you. Blot out your sins so that God remembers them no more. But if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. You can argue till you're blue in the face. You can say, I'm not a sinner. I never did nothing wrong. God's got nothing against me. You can say that to you blue in the face, but you call God a liar and you just simply live in self-deception because you are a sinner. We are all sinners, every single one of us. There's none of us good, not even one. So friends, come out from under that self-deception. Stop deluding yourself. You are exactly as God describes you. No, not the mirror on the wall that tells you you're the fairest of them all, but the mirror of God's Word that gives you a true reflection, reflection of your heart. It's deceitfulness, it's disease, it's wickedness, it's evil. Friends, everything that you condemn other people for lies in your own heart. We're all guilty before God. We're all sinners, all transgressors, all out of the way, separated from God as a result of our iniquities and need of God's salvation. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Here is the faithfulness of God. He has given us the gospel. He has given us the promise. Salvation through His Son. Through faith in His Son. Through belief in the gospel. If you hold your hand up, it's not evidence that you need. It's not proof that you need. That God is a reality. That God exists. You know He does. It's a white flag. It's surrender to Almighty God through His Son, Jesus Christ. Casting yourself down before the Son of God, before that cross of Calvary, and crying out to God, be merciful to me, a sinner. That's the way up, that's the way forward. You got to go down first in order to get up. You got to humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and He will exalt you in due time. Repent and believe the gospel, friends. It's the only answer. Sin is a universal problem. It's everywhere in all the world, in all humanity. We've all sinned, all of us, friends. But the gospel's a universal answer to the universal problem of sin. Whoever believes, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord, Jesus Christ, that is, shall be saved. Calling on faith on the Son of God, saved from sin's penalty, its wages are still death, saved from its power, holds you in its grip, won't let you go, its power can be broken. However sin reveals itself in your life, however it entraps you, however it chains you, however it holds you captive, prisoner, the gospel, the mighty redeeming grace of God in Jesus Christ can break the power of that sin and loose you and set you free. I tell you, there is no sin deeper than the grace and love of God in Jesus Christ. It can be overcome, it can be conquered, it can be broken by the power of my gospel. And if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just. He's faithful to His promises, and He promises salvation to those who call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. They shall be saved. God will not deny His own word. And he will cleanse you of all unrighteousness. Every filthy, dark, and dangerous deed that ever you did, washed away in the precious blood of the Lamb. Friends, the Old Testament, the prophet Moses, he said, without the shedding of blood, there can be no forgiveness of sins. But God Himself has provided the blood sacrifice, His own Son, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. And it would take yours away today if you would but bow the knee, if you would but confess your sin, if you would but repent of your sin, if you would but believe the gospel, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you shall be saved. It's God's promise, comes to you from the God who does not lie. Friends, first recorded words of Jesus in the Bible. Command comes to you from the Lord of glory, from the Prince of Israel, from Jesus, who is both Christ and Lord. Jesus Christ is Lord, and He commands you this afternoon, repent and believe the gospel. Why? Because the kingdom of God is at hand, that's why. And you cannot enter it, but you repent and believe the gospel. So I command you, in the name of the Lord Jesus, repent and believe the gospel, Hanley. Repent and believe the gospel. Repent and believe the gospel. For the kingdom of God is at hand. You'd like to have a copy of God's word.